When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes! Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeeth here in the Classic Factory along with my fellow tribe members. Two guys who would love for Q to send their asses back to Canada. It's Trey Kirby and JD.
I'd love to go back to Canada, right? Sent by Q.
Yeah. What about yourself?
It's a little bit different for me getting in with immigration and stuff. I would have to fill out a bunch of paperwork beforehand, but if Q's willing to chip in, I'll go.
Okay. We are here to recap episode 6 of Survivor 46, titled Cancel Christmas. Shout out to the live tribe joining us here on YouTube. Take a second, hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. It helps other Survivor fans find the show. Let's jump right into it. We have merged, sort of, mergatory, Survivor Limbo, another one of these classic episodes. What'd you think about this one overall before we go through scene by scene? Did you like it? Is it average?
Average.
Yeah.
This one is an average for me because it's a little chaotic, I think, when they finally get to the same beach together and you have, like, every person talking to every person that they haven't actually met yet, so you don't know who's actually on whose side, who's going to be going forward together. It's very similar to the first episode of the season where it feels like you got to relearn who everybody is.
True.
And then, as we saw later on, it ended up being a big-time dogpile vote.
Yeah.
You know, and some bad luck, I think, with rock draws and how the tribe gets split and all that kind of stuff to where you take half the tribe out for even being able to get voted for. So it's just a weird episode.
A weird episode. Yeah. Like, looking at my notes, JD, obviously we will go through it again, scene by scene, but I'm like, there's not a lot here.
Yeah.
It feels like. I was like, I mean, what are we going to talk about here for an hour and a half? Don't worry, we will.
Well, we'll find
name for
it,
a name.
Right?
Yeah. But what'd you think overall, JD?
Yeah, it was pretty a workaday Survivor episode in a way. I do agree that it's chaotic when there's a merge, but not really. I've waffled back and forth whether or not I like this.
Yeah.
The limbo, the mergatory.
Yeah, you gotta win your way to your buff.
Yeah.
But then you watch the other part of the beach have to go to a tribal council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the tension that it adds. I like the, okay, here we are. We're buffless. It there's a lot of opportunity to mess up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thought there was way too much strategy talk before the actual the challenge because you don't know where you're going to land. They're pretty sure that something's going to happen. They're going to get split up, and I don't know. There was too much being spilled on one hand, but I guess Sega was not spilling anything.
No. Tight-lipped.
But, you know, I thought, you know, Venus going hard, Q going hard. Like, what? We got to figure out this puzzle. We got to, figure out all the cracks. I mean, like, hold on. Like, let's just hang out and get to know each other. You know what I mean?
Like, man, it's like day 12, day 13. These people want to start playing.
Totally. And
the next phase of the game.
You're exactly right. And most of these people haven't played the game yet, really. They've been camping, as Venus said. So, you know, I guess I do like the tension of it. I'm just, what I really miss is the merge feast. They don't call it a feast anymore. They call it a meal. It's only for some of you now.
Yeah.
But I love it's like, let's get together. It's a big party. It's a big win. It's the first big win of the season for everybody. We made the merge. Yes. They're feasting, and then there's an idol hidden somewhere or a clue or something, you know, that kind of thing. And then people would get too drunk or whatever like that. I liked that chaos. This chaos is filled with tension. And sometimes I love it, and sometimes I'm just, ugh.
Yeah,
I
think we've just seen this for so many seasons in a row now as a part of it.
Right.
Keep us on our toes.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes, more importantly, the players. Like, who knows what type of sort of merge it will be. Will it be mergatory? Will it just be a classic merge? Yeah, maybe it's just we've seen this a couple times. But let's get into it. Night 11, this is post-Sega Tribal Council. Jem has been sent home, and Mariah, Mo, was left in the dark. She voted for Ben. They all have a little powwow, the flock of Sega, and she's telling us, I feel like a fool. They're picking up on that. You know, again, she's on the wrong side of the vote, but they're trying to build her up.
You're not a fool.
You're not a fool. You got Ben and Tim telling her, basically, it's all good, but she's a little conflicted. Again, in confessionals, at least. Like, okay, on one hand, this is nice. We're going to probably be going into some sort of merge here. We want to stay Sega strong, but like, what the F? Like, you know, left me out of this one here.
Totally.
Any thoughts on the opening scene here?
Well, I did love her line about being a living fool or a dead know-it-all.
Yeah.
It's a real tough spot to be in. As a living fool myself, I think I'm on her side, but as it turns out at the end,
she's a dead fool.
But, yeah, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? You know, they left her out for valid reasons because they didn't want her to blow it up, though maybe they could have got her on their side if on the previous vote if they looped her in, but that just wasn't an option. She has to kind of take it and be like, yeah, okay, I know I'm on the bottom. You know I'm on the bottom. Let's pretend like we're not just for now.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely, throughout this episode, makes a decision along with Sega to like, we won't tell everybody else that that's what happened.
Yeah.
We won't show them the crack.
Right.
I'm the crack.
Yeah.
But she'll drop that later at Tribal Council. You know, that little bomb, maybe too little, too late. Who knows? Who knows? Mm-hmm. But your opening thoughts here?
Yeah. This has got to be like the stingiest one. You know what I mean? Like, because this is the Vibe Tribe. They've been together for 11 days or 12 days or whatever it ended up being. And then, you know, she's the one. I mean, I really felt for her, like, just being put in that position, like, oh, I'm the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, is it because I can't jump? I don't know. Like, I would be, like, re-examining the last 11 days, like, oh, every conversation you've had up to that point. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I didn't say I loved Taylor Swift enough.
Yeah.
I didn't talk enough about rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going over all of it in your head.
So that hurts. And then I felt for her the conundrum that she's in. It's like, oh, I could stick with these people who I know and we're the Vibe Tribe. Either way, she's on the bottom. Like, if she goes and flips, she's on the bottom. So it's just, it's very, very, very tricky. And as you said, I mean, too little, too late, I guess.
Day 12, drop your buffs. They all get the note from, I guess, the boat shows up and tells them, hey, you're all going together. You're all coming together here because you can drop your buff. Yanu is pumped. They're very excited to get rid of the purple buffs. Cannot.
Yes.
Couldn't blame them.
Yeah.
They're like, these things are jinxed. Tiffany does remind us she has an idol.
Idolisha.
They've named it. Yes.
Great.
Is that new? Is that a first?
I thought that was her pet name for it.
She gave it a nickname.
Which I like. You got to claim your belongings, I guess.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it new? Have we ever had somebody with an idol name the idol?
I don't think so.
I couldn't remember one. I like that.
Do you count Tiki Man from last episode?
No, I don't count Tiki Man. So Sega gets the same note, of course. They're told they got 10 minutes to collect their stuff, so they're running around. Same thing with Nami. Now, they don't have to leave their beach, but Hunter's in a position where he's got to run back to the Beware Advantage, and he's given a new clue, and he has to get this idol. From what we could tell, he has to get it before the rest of the boats, the other two tribes, show up. Is that how you read it, too? JD,
I mean,
sort of why he was panicking and racing to get it done?
It was very unclear if that was a rule that he had to get it before the tribe got there. I don't know how they would enforce that because the thing was buried at the step. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So it's like, oh,
well, the key was buried at the step. Yeah.
So, I mean, anyways, it was well done. It was like, you know, intense. They dusted off or they got a new package of sounds for the like a horror movie package or something with the distorted horns or whatever they are as the boats are coming in. It's like Hans Zimmer's, you know, what the hell is a dream movie? The Nolan dream movie.
Inception.
Oh,
that sort of like those like crazy horns that they have. Anyways, it was intense and it was enjoyable to watch. But yeah, I was very unclear if he had to do it or he just wanted to get it before there were 13 people there.
Yeah.
He kept talking about the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if he meant that, like, literally, like, I have to do this before they get here, or
right.
I'm putting in a self-imposed deadline on myself because I don't want to get caught doing this when they walk up.
Right.
Either way, I thought it was a cool scene because it's like he's fiddling trying to find this thing underneath the steps, not really actually looking for it, just digging his fingers into it, hope it runs into it. Meanwhile, it's like cutting back and forth to Soda and Venus just like dissing each other.
Having a full-blown argument.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, raised the tension of this whole thing. Hunter racing against the clock to find the key to unlock the box to get the idol, but spliced in is like them just going at it. I was like, whoa, 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 stick here. What's going on here?
Yeah, but it would have been way more intense if they're like, what is he? He's up to something down there. But now they're just squabbling with one another. Yeah. They just can't seem to stand each other.
Yeah. So he finds the key. He unlocks the hidden immunity idol. So he has it. The boats arrive. And again, it's sort of a merge here. We do have Tevin explaining sort of everybody coming together. I laughed out loud. He said, you know, he wants to be kind to the people that are joining now his beach and the tribe. And they're all coming together. He says, quote, hello, fellow human. Let's play the game. Imagine he had said that when you pulled up.
Hello, fellow human.
Let's play the game. Yeah. He's like a robot. He's like an AI or something like that.
C-3PO over there.
Yeah, no doubt. So we stick with day 12. We are in Survivor Limbo. Somebody says we're buffless. We had people asking, were you upset that they didn't say, ah, no buffs?
Oh, 100% they did. Podcast. And then Jeff was just walked, stormed onto the campfire. And was like, nope, we can't say that.
No. Can't say
there's
no
a
buffs.
Podcast out there, and they'll just run with it. We can't have that.
We would have put it in the intro right away.
Yeah,
we would be spliced in right away.
All
right.
Actually, he was on. I listened to his podcast this morning, and he was he shouted out all the Survivor recap shows and said they're all good. So hey, thank you, Jeff.
Oh, not by name,
just all of them.
All of them
said, you know, he separate.
You know what? You're welcome. And thank
you for
Jeff. finally recognizing
finally
the work
some
we
acknowledgement.
Here. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's interesting, though. It does make me think that maybe Jeff has laid ears on this podcast once upon a time.
It's possible. It's possible.
So we take back everything we've said.
Okay, so they're buffless in Survivor here, not Seattle. Tim doesn't want it to get out that Mariah voted for Ben last night. They want to keep that within the tribe. They want to stay Sega strong now that there's only five of them here. Venus is just pumped to work with anyone else but Tevin and Soda. She is over that. Then we're cut to, this is the part where you're talking about, it's like it's sort of tough to keep up. You're like, you're jumping all over the place and who's talking to who and who's making moves. We cut to Tevin telling Tiff and Q that they need to be careful when it comes to Venus. Again, that was like a smash cut right from Venus saying, I'm tired of working with them. Cuts to Tevin telling them, yeah, you want to be careful of her. Q talks about the Journey 6, a.k.a. the Plus One Alliance, a.k.a. the Wedding Table, as we've coined it. Feel free to use that, Propes, if you want to drop that on your next one. Q and Hunter seem concerned about the Sega portion of this alliance. Couple being Tim and Maria. And so Q decides to just go straight to talk to Maria. And he spills the beans. Like, he spills the beans about the six because Tim never told her.
Yeah.
Which was also a weird decision on his part. She's like a little baffled. I thought she took it in stride. I thought she sort of played it perfectly. I mean, she's hearing, I guess, in theory, good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Q's coming to you saying, hey, we got an awesome alliance going here. Nobody sort of knows about it. Got six strong players. But yeah, then we have this whole thing like, sort of like little friction between Tim and Q. Like, hey, man, you didn't fill her in.
Tell him.
What's going on? What'd you think?
My favorite part was when Maria herself was surprised that Tim picked her as his number one. Because she's like, he's probably my number three.
Yeah, yeah.
We were saying that last episode. Like, really?
Yeah.
Tim and Maria are that close. And apparently they're not. But maybe this is like Tim trying to protect Ben a little bit, trying to like not let on that they're very close to each other. I don't know, but it feels like the way that Tim and Sega played this whole thing kind of blows up in their face, because it's basically like two tribes playing the exact same way. We got four of us who are pretty close. We got one person on the bottom. Sega says, actually, it's all five of us are together.
Yeah.
And Nami's like, no, there's four of us and we hate this other girl.
Right. Yeah.
So then the Anu three are like, well, okay, well, they hate her. They're going to get rid of her on their own eventually. So let's just break up the other side.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how the whole thing played to me. It's like Sega is trying so hard to stay together and not ruffle any feathers that it ends up completely backfiring. But yeah, I feel like Tim probably should have mentioned something to Maria because Q walks up. He's like, did Tim talk to you about the journey? He's like, oh yeah, set us all down. Just talked about the journey. Like, yeah, I went. That seems like the whole conversation.
And there was a moment where she goes, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
He said that, did he? Okay. You know, and then so obviously Q is tipped off. Like, oh, I don't think she knows anything about this. Great moment. Yeah, exactly what Trey said. I mean,
Tim tells us in confessional, he's like, look, I just want to keep my options sort of open here. So he's, you know, Q does not slow play things.
No.
Tim, I think that's more his approach. Maybe to a fault a little bit. Probably should have told her, but whatever. Q is the opposite. I mean, he's like, now that he's made it to the merge, got a little power, obviously he's going to win here with the rock draw. Like, he's ready to go.
Yeah.
Start calling the shots.
It is an interesting point that Trey made, like, the fact that Tim might be protecting Ben by just saying that, but it also doesn't seem like that. Like,
no.
I don't know. It's weird.
It feels like he's trying to keep his options open, whichever way he could go, which is strange because I think Maria is kind of doing that the same. Like, she was part of the Charlie's Angels Girls plus Charlie alliance. She's got some sort of connection with Tim, and then ultimately ended up voting out her own alliance member, Jem, on the last episode. She actually seems to be splitting the difference really well here, because, like, that conversation with Q, she's, like, not shutting it down. She's kind of like, it is news to me, but I'm in on it. You know, like, that could actually end up working out, whereas the way Tim is handling things, it just kind of feels like he's playing things too close, and they're like, oh, that's... You're playing too much.
Yeah, right. You're strategizing. You're not giving us anything. Mm-hmm. They're hell bent on this episode of like, you got to give us a name, give us something.
Well, that's spearheaded by Venus.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, that's true. Day 13, Venus is on a morning walk with Tim and Mo, and she's trying to suss out Sega. Everybody's just trying to find the cracks there. Who is at the bottom? Venus is trying to figure out who's the equivalent of me over there. She wants a name for a name. She was aggressive too. She is a wild player, man.
Oh, yeah.
A sort of like, I don't think she's gonna go. I don't think she's gonna win this game. She might go far, but it's fun having her chaotic energy and how she looks at everything in the just thrown into this.
She's very blunt.
Very blunt.
What's her name? Courtney? Is that a girl from past? She had like very, very light blonde hair. I feel like she always said what was on her mind.
Yeah.
Did not care if it upset anybody. And definitely Venus is playing that way. And it feels like it could be off-putting because she certainly rubs some of these new people the wrong way. But also, if you're making people upset, they're going to keep you around because they're like, we can always get her. Everybody will always vote against Venus. And then suddenly you're there in the final six.
Yeah, you're thinking Courtney, like heroes versus villains, Courtney.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really thin girl like Venus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would just like say it like it is. Mm-hmm. She was a very funny character too. Yeah. There's some similarities there.
There's a slight, I think there's a little, just slight little bit of delusion thrown in there as well.
Yes.
Because she's like, I'm the king now. I'm like, what? Based on what exactly? It's like, I got a lot of power in this game. Do you? Because you're kind of on the butt. I mean, you have more power than you did before the merge.
Yeah.
But, she's just got some cojones on her, like, just to be later on in the episode, hey, it's either you or her. It's like, her? What about this guy? I've never seen that on Survivor, we'll get to that.
But the name for the name was like, I give you a name and you give me a name. You're right. She is trying to call the shots, and they don't, you know, they don't really fall for it with her.
No.
At least Tim and Maria out there. Cut to, though, Mo telling us, there's a clear crack in Nami, and it's Venus. Yeah, we all know that. Tim talks to Maria about the plus one alliance. Finally. after Q told her.
By the way.
She sounds down with it, though. She seems on board.
Sure.
I mean, again, why wouldn't you? She's like Tim. She's doing a really good job of options here. She's like, oh, you're just folding me into what appears to be a pretty good alliance of six. Now, I would look at that alliance of six and go, holy moly, where do I fall?
Yeah.
If this really were to move forward and we get down to the final six of these people in the final seven or whatever, it's like, where am I? I'm probably on the bottom, but, you know, I guess options are good.
Yeah.
And you don't turn it down.
Of course not. That's textbook Survivor.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, you want me to be in an alliance? Great. I'm in.
Yeah.
And if you're in that group of six, it's like, people are looking at Hunter first.
Like, that's
people
true.
People are going to want to get him out. People are going to want to get Q out. Yep. Yep. I don't necessarily know how Tim stands, but they were talking him up as a challenge competitor when they went on the journey. So that's three easier votes than somebody like Maria if she hops along.
That's a good point. Tim, excuse me, we jumped to Q grilling Mo about the gem vote. What a fascinating scene this was. And this is where Mo tells Q that Aubrey was her favorite Survivor player. Now, okay, my wife and I, Nora and I, talked about this scene. We were like, she's just rambling. Like, she's just talking. Like, there was no, there's nothing calculated or, like, shrewd or, like, all that much strategy on her part. And Q is literally just grilling her.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a principal or something. And, you know, he, like, runs with this Aubrey thing, which was the weirdest thing. That's like, oh. Yeah, he called, like, he was like, what did he say? He's like, her geeky, like, geeky eyes or something. That's what he said. I'm like paraphrasing a little bit.
He did say something about her face.
But he like immediately takes this conversation to Hunter and he's like, oh, she's a threat.
Yeah.
What?
She picked Aubrey. Sorry. Aubrey was good.
Aubrey was good, but okay. Aubrey never won.
No.
First off.
Yeah.
She played, Aubrey played a lot and in fact did really bad in one of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like Aubrey, good player.
A memorable player for sure.
Yeah. She played three times.
A likable player.
I'd agree.
But
if you were told that out there, would you be like, oh my God, she said Aubrey. She's diabolical. She's so good at this. Like, we got to get her out. I don't know.
I mean, if you say it to one person and you get a good response, you're probably running with it. You're like, literally anything that I can use against somebody else, I'm going to use it. Like, it was sandwiches last season. Somebody took sandwiches and it's like, you got to go. You took my sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're finding anything.
Anything, especially in that scenario where it's like, we just came all together. Who are we going for? Somebody said something I don't like. You don't like it either. See ya.
It's just weird. I mean, I guess, yeah. I think you're 100% right. It's just like, why zero in on Mariah? Like, out of everybody on Sega, why Mariah?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you know, Charlie or, you know, you've seen Charlie in challenges. He's good.
Yeah,
like
right.
he's great. Like he seems like a more likely threat.
Right.
Right. So
well this is the sliding door of this episode. If she right there goes, you know, okay, I'm lying. I actually voted for Ben.
Yeah.
I'm the odd man out. I'm the odd woman out of this tribe. And here's what I think's going on and here's who I think we should target on Sega. Like this Q, like, okay, yeah, here we go. Because they really wanted to break up Sega because of their whole, they're super tight.
Right.
And they're a lot tighter than Nami here. Again, I wonder if she wishes she did that now. But I think at the time she's literally just, the guy's grilling her. She's like trying to lie a little bit about the last vote. Okay. So she's maybe like on edge a little bit. I don't think she's a natural liar. But then she's literally just answering questions that are so innocent. Like she could have said anything. And like,
yeah.
He's like, she can't jump. She can't jump. Right. We gotta get rid of her. Like, she just had to sit there and look at him. And even that wouldn't work because she's like, I was looking in her eyes. She didn't say anything. She's got geeky eyes.
Yeah. I think you're 100% right. It was like nervous, just blabbering. Like, she's just like, this guy's talking to me and I'm gonna say the first. He asked her, like, how long you been watching Survivor? It's like, oh, since Aubrey. I got in with Aubrey and then just diary of the mouth that just spilled out of her.
Yeah.
Really. I mean,
Q man, he's intense.
Yeah.
He turns into a real coach. You see it at times.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, again, Q took this to Hunter and he's trying to spin it into, I think we gotta look at Mo/Aubrey here.
Gotta get Aubrey out.
I mean, it is funny that they look a little similar.
Yeah.
They got the curly hair, they got the glasses. Yeah. Anyway, day 13, we are at Make the Merge Challenge. Let's call it that. We are doing the rock draw to randomly divide them into groups of six. There will be a seventh, or excuse me, the 13th person will sit out the gray rock and then have to pick between the two tribes. Everybody is on the puzzle. I love that.
Great.
I'm loving this of making everybody in these group challenges have to do something.
Yeah.
We're all on board with that. The winning tribe will earn merge buff, merge meal, and immunity at tribal council. They'll get to go and vote, obviously be there, watch it, but you will be safe. So we draw these rocks, and it's wild. Purple tribe, Q, Kenzie, Tim, Ben, Hunter, and Tevin, and then tiny little orange. Might as well call them, I don't know, the Mandarins.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Clementines.
The Clementines.
The cuties.
Yeah, the cuties. It's Charlie, all 5'9" of them, and then Mo, Maria, Liz, Venus, and Soda. And then Tiff gets to pick who to side with, and she picks purple.
Yeah. Understandably picked purple.
Yeah.
But we did get the heights of everybody on
which is great, yeah. Orange.
Yeah. You were shocked with Charlie's height.
He reads as taller to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is in comparison to everybody else out there. So, I mean, maybe he's the second tallest guy. Like, I guess Hunter, well, Jelinski was the tallest.
Yeah.
He was like an 8-footer compared to these people. But Hunter remaining, I don't know, Tevin seems tall as well, but he's probably like 5'10".
Yeah.
But all I could think of was like, I would have looked like an absolute freak if I was out there with these people.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. Yeah, he said 5'9". I'm with you. I thought he was a little taller, but then you're hearing the women's heights are like 5'2", 5 feet. It's like they're just getting smaller and smaller. It's like, holy wow. Yeah, that's tiny people.
Did Jeff line them up in height order? He's like, Charlie over there, Liz over there. Let's run it down.
Yeah. What'd you think, JD, of the rock draw here? At this point, you know, they're really leaning into, look how unfair this is.
Right.
Now, were you going, well, this is going to be a slaughter. They're going to destroy them. Or were you like, hold on, they're putting all of this in here.
Yeah.
Are we getting... Somebody literally references David versus Goliath. Right. It's Venus. Yeah.
It's interesting because you can't deny it. You have to say, you have to mention it, right?
Yeah.
It's just because they are so lopsided. But maybe they did play it up a bit. I thought, okay, this is going to be way closer than we think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know how I feel about it. I know we have a question in Gmail about it, so we'll
the rock draw portion. Yeah. Yeah. I like looking at the obstacle course when they drew the teams, I was like, I did not know if that little tiny orange team was gonna be able to get up that giant boulder.
Same.
We've seen other normal tries, I say normal, like normal heights and whatever, like struggle to do that. Like in previous seasons of Survivor. Like that's difficult. You gotta work as a team, of course. They did an incredible job. I just couldn't believe they got everybody up there. On one hand, I guess they're all sort of light, smaller, and can sort of scurry up it, but still.
Jeff does address that in the podcast, this week's podcast, in that the Dream Team, they will divide and they'll do like the smallest team that they can possibly do, just to see how if it's doable with smaller people. And obviously it was. And, you know, add in the adrenaline that it's for $1 million, you know, it adds to their sudden ability to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But then also factor in that they haven't eaten for 12 days. So there's that.
You know,
but
you don't think they're starving the Dream Team for 10 plus days before they run those challenges? They should. They really should. You gotta
make it true.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any notes from the actual challenge? I mean, I did write down, I always get concerned someone's going to really hurt themselves going down those cargo nets at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know, my back. I always like go like I grab my back. It's like they hit that thing and like you can get your feet caught and sometimes they roll oddly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure there's a great way to do it like quickly but safely.
It doesn't seem like it.
Like I know Q sort of ran down it, but that could go poorly.
Yeah.
You could eat it on that.
Oh god, yeah.
And you know, a couple other people sort of bounced down, but anyway.
We
saw an unbelievable. Was it three people on Orange pulling up Charlie, the final person to get up that ball? And they had the craziest configuration.
Yeah, that was cool.
I don't even know who it was. I know Soda was a part of the base, and then someone was like straddling her, and then there was someone behind her.
That looked cool.
Yeah, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah.
They might have gotten up the boulder faster than Purple did.
Yeah.
I mean, Purple was just literally brute forcing it. Like, we're throwing you up, and then I'm Hunter. I'm going to run and jump, grab your foot, and yank myself up. Thought he was going to tear Q's foot off. But then they had to, like, think through the physics of it on the Orange Tribe. It was pretty smart.
Yeah.
I also loved when they went through, like, the sloppy mud bath. Came up, Tevin was like,
oh yeah, he's
looking around,
see.
Trying to figure out where he's going, face just covered in mud.
I was wondering, take the buff, throw it over the eyes, and then like, because you know you're just scurrying through a net, as soon as you get through the net, boom, pop it down.
Good strategy.
Yeah, why not?
Excellent strategy. Well, hold on.
Excellent strategy.
They didn't have any buffs.
No buffs. They thought of everything.
That's why you're here. That's why you're here. They were buffless.
They were buffless.
No buffs.
Yeah.
See, that would have been great. No buff. I have no buff. Also my favorite Survivor podcast. Man, my eyes.
So, well, it also looked like the smaller people, as Jeff points out, had a little bit of an advantage going
on
through
the net.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of...
I sort of bought that, I guess.
Oh, yeah. When you look at, like, Q, watching him, he kind of struggles through these things anyways. So I wasn't really paying attention to him, but watching Hunter go through it, he was struggling for sure.
I guess
compared
to
like
Liz,
you're
just bigger, so it's putting more tension on on that cargo on the ground. Yeah, that's true. So Orange basically pulls even. It looked like it, at least. It may have been a little trickery with the edit, but in like the second portion of that puzzle, it looked pretty close. Whew. It almost like they were right there. The puzzle pieces got harder and harder as it went on. As they got to that top part, it was like, well, I was like, oh my God, I don't think I'd be able to do this. I feel pretty confident with a lot of these puzzles, but like they were like just random triangles that had to, you're like, oh God, I don't know. But they may have won this, Orange would have, if there's no Hunter. Because the guy's not only a challenge beast, but he's like the best puzzle master out there.
Puzzle whiz.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, this guy... Like, they got to get rid of him immediately when we now get to the individual. As soon as he loses, that guy has to go. Now he's
got to be the number one target.
Now he's got an idol. So now it might take two cracks to get this guy out of here. Two losses.
Yeah.
This guy appears to be a guy that could win so many of these individual challenges. Because I don't see a weakness yet in this guy's game.
Not yet.
It's rare to be the best at the physical challenges and the puzzles.
Yeah.
Right.
One or the other usually is the case.
And he's shown us like good touch with like beanbags and slingshots and all that. Like, I don't know. Something will get him. It usually, there's always one weird thing.
Yeah.
But
to be fair,
they have to vote him out right away.
There's not a lot of challenge beasts, I don't think, on this cast.
Out there.
To be fair.
No. But hold on.
But he's great.
He's
great.
You put him, if we had a all challenge beast season of Survivor, he's getting the invite.
Oh, yeah. I'm not taking anything away from Hunter, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
Just more reason you got to vote him out if he does lose.
You're right.
So, yeah, Purple wins. They have made the merge, along with Tiff. And they get Shred Red Buffs.
Is that what he called them?
Shred Red is Shred what Red. Ben, of course, called them.
not a lot of Ben in this
episode.
Not
a lot of Ben, but he slipped in a Shred Red.
Yeah. Shred Red, and everybody was on board with saying this does or does not rock when they were drawing from the bag. So he's having an influence out there.
This does not rock. So day 13, the merge feast or whatever, merge meal, because we have – I thought it was funny how they did it. Like they're all walking down the beach together and then the winners get to peel off to the little tent there to eat their grapes and their brownies and their wine and stuff like that. And, you know, at this little meal, Yanu's all safe. They're all three of them are there. And so this is where we get the, hey, what's going on? Who's the cracker? Who's at the bottom on your tribe? And everyone's like, it's Venus. You know, they're all throwing that name around. Ben and Tim of Sega, they just won't give a name. They do not want to give a name up. And you can tell it's like really starting to piss people off.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cute. This is cute. Yeah, but give us a name. Yeah. At this point, just lie. Just tell us anybody.
Right.
Especially Tiff. Tiff seemed really, really pissed off.
Well, they did. They did end up giving a name, didn't they?
They did. They did.
Reluctantly.
Yeah. They didn't say Mo.
They
end up giving Mo, but I don't believe they spilled the whole, like, she was on the wrong side of the vote.
Right,
did they?
Right.
They kept up the charade that it was.
Yeah.
Charade, sure. Charade.
I mean, yeah. Charade. Charade?
Charade is way more fun to say.
I guess I was thrown off by Q constantly saying unanimous. But the charade that it was a unanimous vote the whole time.
So
charade?
So they give up Mo, sort of, but they're not all happy about it. If anything, they're like, they're way tighter than Nami, so we probably really should try and put enough votes on them. Day 13, plotting and scheming here when they all get back together. Yeah, it's just into who's the bigger threat, Venus or Mo? It's the snake versus the gamer is sort of how they're looking at this. Again, I don't know, has Mo really proven anything that she's a gamer? It's just she's told Q she likes Aubrey, who was a gamer.
But I don't think that's what it was. It was the tightness of Sega is what her ultimate downfall, right? I mean, she's not really much of a threat. In the grand scheme, but they needed a name and they
wanted
to break
up.
Wanted
a number from Sega gone.
Exactly.
And
Trey already
two of them. Yeah.
And Trey already pointed out that Nami is in shambles as it is with, you know, Venus. They already know that Venus is the crack. So, you know, get rid of somebody from Sega, and now Sega's basically screwed, right?
Yeah. Hunter wants to guide the vote, even though he can't even vote. He's pushing this, it's got to be a Sega person narrative. Hunter tells Q, you know, Nami has cracks. There's more cracks here. Liz hates Soda, and Soda hates Venus. That was slipped in. I was like, oh, Liz hates Soda.
I didn't know that.
We didn't know that. We haven't seen a single thing to represent that. We knew Soda hates Venus. Well, hates. Hate is a strong word.
It's a very strong word.
Yeah, yeah. But there's some conflict. Yeah. We saw it in this episode of them arguing while Hunter's trying to find the idol. But Liz hates Soda.
They wouldn't have kept it in if there wasn't a reason.
Mm. Yeah.
Moving forward, keep your eye on that. Tiff and Q tell Venus her name is coming up and that she should vote Mo. And here you go, JD. Venus is like, nah, nah. We should vote Charlie instead. That was ballsy. That was rare to see. Hey, your name is coming up, but don't worry. There is another person on Sega.
Yeah.
Now, usually most people would be like, okay, well, I guess we got to get all eyes on that person that they are pitching being Mo.
Yeah.
She says, no.
Yeah.
That's a dumb move. She's actually right, too. But she's like, it should be Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, she made an excellent pitch to the women saying, it can't be another woman. We're going to be outnumbered. And I don't think that was genuine. I think she was being ingenuous because, you know, I think she just wanted to keep Mariah because she likes her. Right? Like, I mean, she's making a very good point, and it was just a brilliant pitch. And even Soda was going, you know what?
Oh, Soda was like, you're making some good points.
Yeah. I can't stand you, but you're making some good points here. So, you know, and again, like, just such a ballsy move by her just to be like, because most of the time you'd be, as you say, like, oh, there's somebody else? You want me to vote for the other person? Done. I will do whatever it takes to get this person out, as long as it's not me. And she's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to...
But it almost blew up in her face because, like, Kenzie takes the Venus freak out to Q and Tevin, and suddenly Q's like, well, then it's got to be her.
Got to be her.
Yeah.
She's putting up a fight. What is she doing? She's ungrateful. Yeah. And that's where he says, let's send her ass back to Canada. So it looked for, like, a second, like, the classic, like, you should have just said, yes, we will go with Mo. And then instead, they're just going to, like, out of pure frustration,
switch it up.
We're going to get you out of here because you're not grateful. So, yeah, there's lots of this going on before they head to Tribal Council, which is where we go to. My notes from Tribal Council are, you know, Nami's first time there. I'd forgotten about that because Raiden went home, medevaced. Pretty wild when you think this game is, at this point, half over.
Yeah,
they had not even seen Tribal Council, and here it is halfway through the game, night 13. Venus in another sort of ballsy move calls the guys, like, sort of calling the shots or wanting to call the shots, calls them the kings of the castle, kings of the castle. You know, which they show a reaction shot from those guys, like, oh, geez, hey. Jesus. and then Mo drops her little, I don't know, mini bombshell by telling everyone that she was on the wrong side of the vote for Jem. And Q is like, well, why didn't you tell me that earlier?
Yeah.
That was a weird exchange there, too. And, like, Q was, like, explaining the game to her there, like the reasons you should have and maybe why you did that wrong. I don't know. I just thought it was weird. And I thought he was, he's a little much. I gotta be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a really nice guy, but at times you're like, okay, play your game. I'll play mine. You know?
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I mean, it seems to be a lot of the tension he had with Banu previously, right? Yeah. He's like, you're not doing it right. Which means you're not playing the game I want you to play.
I know.
We're like, there's 18 people here. We can all do it differently.
He looks at it like a coach. Like, hey, coach, we're not all going to win Survivor here. So, like, you have a plan, but I also could have a different plan.
Yeah.
But
I feel like that moment for Q transcended the game a little. Like, obviously they all knew that they were voting her out anyways.
Yeah.
And he's basically just saying, hey, don't sell yourself short or whatever. You know, like, you play your game. Don't let, you know.
Yeah, because he was trying to say, like, you got bullied almost. Like, you got quieted, I guess, by the rest of Sega.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to say that you were on the outs because you were trying to protect them. And he's like, why would you even be doing that if you are on the outs?
Yeah.
Which you are now telling us, we have sort of learned. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
I don't disagree with you at all. Like, yeah, I don't think he should be doing that. But I just think from his perspective, he was just coaching.
Did you think in this moment her little bombshell was going to save her at all?
I thought it might.
The possibility of like them going, oh, okay, hold on.
I did sit up and go, okay, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. It's too late, obviously, but at least she's playing. At least she's, you know, last ditch effort or whatever.
Yeah, so they go up to the voting booth. No vote for Hunter. Tevin does get his extra vote. And then Mo decides to play her shot in the dark. You said before we went live, Trey, for a second you thought she had an idol.
Did she bomb something?
Yeah, she
what is that?
Yeah, because Probst asks if anybody has an idol.
Yeah.
And, like the way he worded it and the way they cut it to then her with the little parchment. And we were like, whoa, are we getting a flashback here? But it's the shot in the dark.
Has that happened in the past when people play their shot in the dark? Because I don't remember it happening at that exact moment.
Yeah, I think they almost like cut out maybe more of what Probst says.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not safe, so she has no vote. And in the end, she gets 10 votes to 1.
Right.
Charlie votes for Venus. Now, is that just a smart move in case she's safe after the shot in the dark? Probably.
Yeah.
He feels maybe comfortable doing it because she'd been throwing out his name and targeting him. There's that play as well. But 10-1, Mo gone for just being an Aubrey fan.
Just being an Aubrey. And unfortunately for her, towing the company line. Like, I don't know.
Yes.
The way Q reacted at Tribal Council makes you think that if she had gone to him earlier and been like, I'm actually on the bottom, but I'm not really tight with these people. Very similar to the way Venus was playing. Maybe she could have saved herself.
Maybe.
But going along with it and then kind of like, on one hand, it enhances the fact that Sega is very close with each other. So that's scary for the Nami tribe. But also for everybody else, they're like, you've been lying to us for the entire time that we've been on the beach together. Why couldn't you just told us the truth? Yeah. It's hard to get on the same page with that person as well. So I think she kind of like dug her own grave twice at that point. Whereas if she had just come into the merge when they all get on the beach together and been like, yeah, they want you to think we're all together. Those four are together.
Yes.
But I'm kind of free here. Yeah. I've been with them. Maybe I'll stick with them, but something else could happen. If she had kept her options open more, I think she might have been able to survive this one because, like, Venus is right. Charlie is certainly a more dangerous player than Mariah ever was. Mm-hmm. So you would, if you're Nami, it would make a whole bunch more sense to get rid of him, somebody who's been helping make the decisions, than it would be going for Mo.
It's a great point. For another reason, too, from the Yanu perspective, who end up being all safe in this, too, and so you feel a little more drunk on power, Venus is saying, I'm on the bottom. I will gladly work with you guys. Okay, that's a number. That makes us four. Oh, if Mo had done the same thing, that's five. Suddenly, suddenly forget us being a swing vote or anything between us, and they're in a good spot, don't get me wrong, because they're between those two bigger tribes. They're like, they're suddenly have, it's 5-4-4. Now, again, the two coexisting fours could then team up and target them, but they could pull in those numbers, which I think they would have been gladly to do. So, Mo, yeah, I think you're right. She should have been double agenting this, right?
Yeah.
Saying to Sega, yeah, okay, we're cool. We're the Vibe Tribe still. I get it. I understand why you didn't. And know that she's on the bottom, but then sort of play them by going to these other people. Yeah, but she's out.
So Vibe Tribe, man, got in her head.
They vibe like, too can't, much.
These are my friends. These are my friends.
These are my friends.
They fucked me over once. They taught me how to jump. They taught me how to salsa.
Yeah. Learned a lot about Taylor Swift, Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great time. But yeah, so I guess the moral of the story, I guess, is you got to play the bottom. If you're on the bottom, you got to play the bottom. You got to be on the bottom because that's actually a pretty powerful, as you say, position to be in
when there's that
at that
people,
merge
at
that, that many people. You got a team of three, you got somebody else on the bottom, you're exactly right, that's five. So
and the other rule is to not say Aubrey.
Don't say Aubrey. Don't say anything.
Two lessons. Don't say anything. Okay, can't even talk.
No names. Don't a talk. Name for a name, hell no. No names at all. I'm not saying
name for a name. I'll give you a Metallic song.
Yeah. One final question, I guess. Well, not a final question, my final question is this strategy of Hunter to just continuously announce that he has no vote. What's going on there? Like, just to say, be super upfront and like, hey, I don't have a vote. To the point where he's just like, hey, don't talk to me. I got no horse in this race, which is obviously not true.
Right.
But it's just like, I mean, I guess it didn't matter in the end, but I just don't really.
I hadn't thought about it.
Get why he's advertising.
It's a hell of a strategy every time, just saying, I don't have a vote.
Yeah.
So, I can't decide. I'll go wherever you want me to.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe just, I'm no threat here.
Yeah. It's interesting. You thought on that?
Yeah. I just think it was a perfect timing for him, to have his no vote at this tribal council where he's already safe, anyways. Yeah. And there's such a huge group that, one vote isn't really going to swing things. I thought it was weird too, but also perfect for him, and very similar. I think Maria played it with her extra vote. She's like, I got an extra vote.
Yeah.
She used it already.
Yep.
Threat's gone.
Yep.
Right. You're like, look, I could be a threat here, but not because of this.
That's true. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the rock draw and whether that's something we want to continue to keep here in Survivor or maybe go to the old schoolyard pick. We'll get into that more in Tree Mail. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds? Sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation? Perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Okay, back here with No Buffs, breaking down episode 6. Once again, shout out to the live tribe on YouTube. Love to see the conversations and questions and comments going back and forth in the chat. Keep it up. But let's get into some tree mail. First question coming from Doug. Oh, good old Doug. He had a couple good ones here. First one, he starts it by tweeting in 5'9.5".
Cool.
I think that should be a rule moving forward. Anytime you have a question on No Buffs, state your height off the top if you can, if you've got the characters to work with. Okay, 5'9.5" Doug writes in, if the purple team had lost and had been vulnerable for tribal council, who do you think would have gone home? Ben, Tim, Hunter, Tevin, Kenzie, Q, or Tiff? Fun hypothetical.
Yeah.
Let's say Tiny Orange pulls off the miraculous comeback. Hunter just panics, can't finish the puzzle, and they do it. Who would be, you think, at most risk to go home last night?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Hunter probably isn't as forthcoming about not having a vote, if that's the case, you know, and he's actually vulnerable in that one. Maybe Tim? The only reason I say that is just because it seemed to rankle Q that he hadn't filled Maria in on the plus one alliance. Mm. So maybe that little bit of a disconnect gives Q enough reason to be like, well, he didn't follow through on the alliance. I can't work with this guy. Let's get him out of here.
Yeah.
I don't think that really would have happened, but there definitely is a little bit of a gap between those two.
I thought maybe the answer to this was Ben or Kenzie, because everybody else is in the wedding table alliance.
Right.
That's true.
In the plus one alliance. Ben is not. Kenzie is not, but then there's Q and Tiffany there. They probably want to keep her. So I guess my pick would be Ben.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Like if they had gone.
It's got to be Asiga and Tim is part of the wedding party.
Right.
So.
That's a good point.
The wedding party. I love it. He's now part of the wedding party, not at the wedding table.
Oh, right. The wedding table. Sorry. Not
upgrade,
the wedding party.
Upgrade.
Now that rocks. All right. Kevin wants to know, who's the best Survivor alumni that you can identify as your favorite player that wouldn't get you on the chopping block? So you're in the scenario that Mo is last night. Q is grilling you. Mm-hmm. And when did you start watching Survivor? Are you a fan? And then who's your favorite player? Let's say he asks, who are you allowed to say that wouldn't get Q or anyone else going, wow, no, we got so-and-so here.
I mean, there are a lot of answers you could say that wouldn't put up anybody's antennas. Like if you say coach, they're like, all right, we'll keep you.
Yeah, right.
But I think best player, like that got far in the game, Ozzy, maybe? Like, dominant in challenges. Got far in some games, but the strategy part was never his strong suit.
Yeah. So almost it would work in your favor. You're
saying. Yeah, like, I just love the way he competed out there.
Yeah.
He might be lived the jungle life.
Yeah, good fisherman and all that. Okay. What you got?
Maybe Penner.
Okay.
You know, just sort of a strategic player, but not... He's not threatening in any way. Like, he never won, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, just kind of got it.
He did mutiny.
Oh, yeah.
Stepped off the mat.
Yeah,
along with Candace, I want to say.
Yeah.
Remember that weird?
Didn't
that weird season?
I mean, like, he's sort of an Aubrey-like character in that he was just super memorable and likable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But not, in the end, not much of a threat. So, I'll say Penner. Or, like, I mean, the... An obvious answer is kind of Heather, you know, like, remember Heather?
Heather's my favorite.
She's big Heather fan. Flew under the radar. Gabler? For a winner, if you said Gabler?
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's why someone that didn't win but got very far, who I don't think you brought up his name, they'd be like, wow, this guy's a strategist. Give me Woo.
Yeah.
Give me our guy Woo.
A fat dip of that guac.
Oh, yeah. And I legit love Woo, too. So I'd be like, I love him.
Yeah,
he should have won maybe, but he made probably the wrong mistake at the end. But
hey, he was just trying to do the right thing.
That's right.
That's all he wanted to do.
He wanted to take on the best.
He was honoring the game.
That's right. So I'll go Woo, but Heather is a funny answer. I'm a huge Heather head. Wasn't that what you used to always say? You used to call them Heather
big heads. Heather heads.
Big Heather head. Yep. All right, next one from Zachary here. Do you prefer a random rock draw or a schoolyard pick for choosing teams, both at the Earn the Merge Challenge and in general? And regarding the unbalanced rock draw, Tyson said it's an example of how luck plays a role in the game. And if a winner doesn't admit luck played a role in their victory, they are a bad winner.
Wow.
Do you agree? So two parts here. The Tyson part of it all, that luck plays a role. And of course, this idea of like, you like the random rock draw, or do you wish we saw a little bit more of the schoolyard pick, which used to be a thing way more back in earlier seasons of Survivor, but I feel like we don't do it all that often.
Yeah, there were definitely like some drama created with schoolyard picks.
Totally.
And like there were some challenges where it's like you pick whoever's plates you want to smash and we smash them down and like, ooh, it reveals stuff about alliances.
Yeah.
And that played out further down the line in the game. So I could see that going back. And I think Tyson is right. I think Zachary is right here that luck plays such a huge role, especially nowadays. Like, I don't think Bonu was going to win this game, man. But he also, like, he ended up on the wrong side of a couple of rock draws. He ended up having to go on this journey where the other tribe picked him, and then he gets to a challenge, draws a rock, and he has to figure out a tough tough puzzle and loses his vote because of it. Can't do anything about getting voted out, even though, like I said, he wasn't going to win anyways. But things were stacked against him as well. So between the journeys, Mergatory, every time you're sticking your hand in that bag to see where you're ending up, like, there's so much luck involved, especially in the new era.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. Every single winner on Survivor has had some or a lot of luck, for sure.
Yes, I will add to that, though. Elite winners, the best of the best, can get bad luck and still
and
get out of it and deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's been the case over 45 seasons.
Yeah.
Of the best of the best. Like, they've been in tough positions, and that separates the really good players from the great players.
100%. 100%.
But overall, of course,
There's luck involved, for sure.
Yeah.
As far as I'd like to see the schoolyard come back. I mean, you know, well, as an NBA podcast, I mean, we were looking forward to the schoolyard pick of the All-Star game, and it never really delivered, to be honest.
No.
I mean, they did it, you know, they couldn't do it live. They were just cowards about it at first, and they just wouldn't do it live. And then it was just too good natured. There was no drama in the end. And then I guess
maybe that happened here in Survivor. I mean, the players got smarter.
They did stop showing them.
They used to show us. You're right. Like, okay, I pick him. And then they just like, we would just go to break and we'd be back in the teams.
Right.
Even though they did a schoolyard pick without the cameras. Yeah.
Sometimes Jeff would say, oh, we did a schoolyard pick and here are the squads. So, you know, but yeah, the Trey's exactly right. There's some drama there for sure. And why'd you pick that guy? I mean, he's not in our alliance, man. Like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, bring it back, Jeff. Bring it back.
Well, it does. Not all the time. I know we have seen previous schoolyard picks like be lopsided teams, but for the most part, it makes it more balanced.
Right.
It can. Of course it can if you have two captains picking. I mean, okay, you're going to take Hunter. Well, then, I might take Q or whatever. Like someone similarly shaped or someone like the other puzzle master, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you can make it a little more balanced in theory.
Yeah.
I wonder if our close friend Jeff would be worried that at this stage of the game, they're just picking their tribe.
Yeah. I don't know if they...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I guess it's a possibility, but... You mean you're putting food on the line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's why they got rid of it. Maybe they started just running into that, like, we're not mixing it up at all.
We're splitting up basically two people, it would be, and then one leftover Yanu, I guess.
There is no doubt the producers and Jeff, they want to drop a little chaos into the game, and they do it more and more often. And I think, if anything, that gets previous Survivor players, like, more and more upset. It's like, okay, now you're making it too much chance and luck.
Yeah.
And maybe you're removing the game element a little bit. But yeah, come on, bring it back once or twice.
Yeah, once. Yeah. Somehow bring it back. It doesn't have to be in a challenge, like an immunity challenge. It could be a food challenge or something.
Yeah.
You know, reward challenge.
It's telling, though, like you guys said.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing that I'm sort of on the fence about is this idea of having six people who are immune in the Murgatory. You know, part of it. I mean, bring back the massive vote. You know what I mean? Like,
because it
causes a bit of chaos as well. You know,
it can.
I don't know. Six people immune right off the bat. I don't love it.
I mean, I also think that's a bit of a television editing decision.
Yeah,
like it's like we can at least zero in now on half of them.
True.
Half of them, you're good. You're fine. Yeah. We don't need to worry about them. We don't need to tell their stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you.
It adds chaos.
It does. So, yeah. Next one from Chris. This one stopped me dead in my tracks. I was like, what? Chris wrote, could Liz secretly be the best player in recent memory? She must have him on her email chain.
Yeah.
What? Could Liz secretly be the best player in recent memory? Despite all her bragging and avoiding challenges, nobody has thrown her name out. If she starts building an alliance now, she could win this. Again, this one, I had to include it. I had not thought about this, Chris.
It
would be a secret to me. I'm starting to wonder, what does Chris know?
Yeah.
But, everybody else was just as surprised by this this tweet here from Chris.
I mean, as a character in a television show, she's basically an extra at this point.
Right.
You know, she came out all braggalicious. I'm a billionaire. And then we haven't heard from her. So.
I don't think she's playing a bad game.
No.
So she hasn't really had to play much of a game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, but I definitely don't think she's the best player of recent memory from five or six episodes that I've seen from her. But
well, I mean, look at Erica, who won the game. Shout out to Canada.
Yeah.
She was basically a non-character.
Yeah,
and
so is that
up
is that
until
the
merge?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Laying if she's out. Got like a secret alliance that we don't know about. I mean, we never knew about Heather. And Erica, really, until the very end of the game.
Yeah. What Chris is seeing here, isn't
it?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, but there's also no shillelagh of time in this, which was a factor.
Helped out Erica.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was
yeah.
a big factor. So, I don't see it, to be honest, but who knows?
I mean, nobody's thrown her name out. Yes, well, true, but there's probably a couple other people that we haven't heard any name thrown out for them.
That's
of now... I guess, 12 people.
Right. That was also the first time she went to tribal council, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So why would they be throwing her name out?
Yeah,
well,
yes. Totally.
Yeah, great point.
Totally. I can see her going deep, though. Like, sure. I mean, she's flying under the radar.
Yes.
She doesn't seem like a threat of that tribe. And if the Liz hates soda, soda hates Venus, if it's in there for a reason, maybe it ends up being Liz who flips and gets one of the power players on Nami out.
Okay. Right. All right, Chris.
I mean,
got us thinking.
If she goes on to win this thing, it would, in the television business, we would call that unearned, right? It would feel unearned.
Well, hold on. There's lots of seasons. There's lots of survivors.
Halfway home.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. At this point.
Right.
If it ended tomorrow. And they said Jeff Probst said, the winner of Survivor 46 is Liz.
But everybody feels that Erica's was unearned. They were not happy about Erica winning Survivor.
No, it's true.
Just because she was not barely in the show for half of the episodes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mikey writes in, why were there 27 different bat shots included in last night's episode? I felt like they were building to something. Now, my theory was that Ben was going to get bitten by a bat and consequently medevaced and what? Be yelling about Ozzy Osbourne on the way out?
Oh, he would bite the bat's head off.
Yeah. And then get sick and then have to be medevaced. But rock and roll forever.
Yeah, that does rock.
Yeah.
That absolutely rocks.
There were a lot of bat shots.
They
kept showing them.
I thought there was going to be, we've had a bat puzzle. Like, I thought that was what it was going to be. I thought that was all leading to a bat puzzle. Thanks for the breadcrumbs, Jeff. But apparently just, they had a lot of cool bat shots around. Yeah. They've showed one where I was like, is that a pterodactyl? I didn't know bats could be that
big.
Some
big old bat. I'll be 100% honest. I didn't even realize there were bats. I thought they were birds.
Yeah.
Because they were huge.
Yeah.
Until I read this, I guess they were bats.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, bats, maybe it's just the beginning of bat season in Fiji.
They have the rain season and the bat season.
Yeah, the bats come in.
So you don't think it's gonna
foreshadow
anything? Like a Batman Robin?
Ooh, interesting.
What else? we had the whole
Dracula,
holding of a machete
course.
And holding of a hammer. Could somebody, Jalen Rose holding a bat style? I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, could be something
maybe.
There.
Maybe it's what you just said. The old challenge where you have to like sort of show where your alliances lie by smashing, idols of yourself or representative of the players. And they have a bat to do it or something like that. Something bat's coming.
How about a bat-themed endurance challenge? Who can hang upside down the longest?
I like that.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Seems dangerous, but it would be cool.
Over above the water?
Yeah.
That'd be sick. Never done that.
We just invented a challenge.
How? They've never done that, right?
Hanging upside down?
Literally
I don't
just
think
hang.
So.
For, right?
I used to do that like for not hours, but certainly minutes.
They don't want it to go
as a kid
now.
On the monkey bars.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
just
yeah. I
like...
thought you were going to say, like, last week.
No, I hang up. I sleep upside down, guys.
So, well, yeah, they would get out there.
In the water.
A platform would raise somehow, hold on to the bar, and then they remove this thing.
Yeah.
And say, whoever can hold on the longest. I mean, it's a very Big Brother-like challenge. Mm-hmm. They do stuff
True.
Like that, right? Hang on to that wall.
Yeah.
And they, like, throw eggs and stuff at them. Probes be chucking stuff at them.
I like that.
Okay. All right, maybe that's where we're going with the bats.
Let's do it.
But you're right, for the bat, you're going to have to hold, like, hang by your feet.
Hang by your feet.
Yeah. Or your knees, right? Like, just
knees over the bar, feet under the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But you could do it without the other bar, though.
All right.
You can.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I can
anymore.
You're
a hanging expert, apparently. I don't know if I could do it.
I don't know. All right, final one. Back to Doug. Well, bookends here with Doug. Doug, 5'9.5" still. Jeff's Survivor casting promos seem to be getting increasingly unhinged. How do you think they film those? Do they do them all in one day? And how much more unhinged can they get? Doug is alluding to the one last night. Probst was whispering to us while he was telling us to come play Survivor. While he was walking there, right? That was last night, right?
That was last night. Yeah.
Aggressively whispering.
I would need to see a supercut. Is he wearing the same shirt? Same hat?
He's always wearing the same shirt and hat.
He never changes,
fair
man.
Enough.
For 45 seasons, he's basically
wearing. He'll change from a black to a blue every now and then.
Yeah, that's
true.
You're right.
But yeah, I mean, I made us go back and rewatch one last week because I was convinced Jeff tripped coming down the stairs.
You did.
Like, I swear, Jeff tripped. But he just looked down, so he didn't trip.
Yeah, it wasn't really a trip. But you said you got some intel on this.
Yeah,
you
Jeff was talking about this specifically, that... they bank them. He'll do a bunch of them, like, you know, just whatever. We got some time, got some cameras. Let's just, you know,
move around,
do some
a little bit.
Call to action. Come on, it join Survivor. Isn't this is the greatest thing ever? Did you see what just happened? I mean, he's not talking about anything, but he did say that after Emily won last year, you know, she was trembling and shaking, yeah. And it was just a huge moment. 30 seconds after the cast members left, he was like, "All right, let's do a promo." That was, you know, that was incredible.
We can use
if you
that.
Think yeah, this is yeah, exactly. It's like you just saw what happened to Emily. I don't know if he actually say her name. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But yeah, he's just like, that was amazing. If you can see that could be you.
Yeah. So cast. Just like inspired by the challenge and the result.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He just gets fired up, man.
Turn my mic on. It's like us recording a short after a podcast. Oh, yeah, I got a good idea. I'm going to write this out real quick.
I got a good take here. I got a good take. The Hall of Fame is broken. Let's go. It's basically the equivalent of Simmons saying, "Turn my TikTok camera on." Okay. That's what Probst does. Okay. Good stuff, JD. Yeah. I didn't know you were still listening to the On Fire podcast.
I haven't been, but I got up at 3:30 in the morning to drive my kids to the airport, so I had some time this morning. Okay. So I dipped in.
Okay. Any other nuggets you want to share?
I think I've shared everything. He said he liked to be mocked. When he was talking about that,
does he?
A friend of his apparently.
Then this is the podcast.
No,
this
is show.
He said a friend of his daughter. He filmed his daughter pretending to be Jeff, doing this sort of whispery voice,
right.
And he just loved it. He said, "I love being mocked." That's what he said on the show.
Well,
so.
But he also loves kids talking about Survivor.
That's also
so
true.
There's that part.
Yeah, I don't think he likes three grown men mocking him weekly
over everything he does and says.
Yeah. We're not mocking. We love the guy.
We love him.
Sassy Jeff.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Great tree mail. Keep them coming every week. Usually send out a little bat signal. Oh, to let you know where we want them. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at No Dunks Inc. Okay, one more break. It's a quickie. When we come back, we will look at how we're doing in the No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool, and we'll make predictions for next week. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, back with the boys here on No Buffs, looking at how we did in the Make Your Picks No Buffs Fantasy Survivor Pool. Did anybody correctly call Mo going home? No.
Did not.
No for me.
You had the other M. You had Maria.
I had Venus and Maria.
I had Venus and Soda. And JD, where'd you go?
I had Tiff and Q. Oh, God.
I thought Yanu was going to continue their losing ways. Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Lose another. Okay, so nobody called it. I dropped significantly in our standings. I went down like 500, 600 spots.
Same. I'm in like the 800 ranges.
And I really regret this after getting this note from Chris. I felt like a super dum-dum. Because if you had thought about it, you probably could have got some points last night. He said, a quick note about the latest episode. Tevin got credit for acquiring an extra vote. He won it in one of those journey excursions several episodes ago, but he needed to go to tribal council to acquire it. This was his first tribal council. So, you know, you can put like double points down and stuff like that.
Right.
Next season, Chris wrote, Make Your Picks plans on making adjustments to account for this because it makes it too easy to play double the points on a contestant who won an advantage but hasn't officially acquired it yet. But for this reason, hats off to the people who played 2x on Tevin and Hunter this week in acquiring their actual things. If you were smart, again, I was an idiot, didn't even think about it, didn't even cross my mind, you could have really doubled up on points on those guys, but they're going to change. They're going to tweak that. Probably a good tweak. So
yeah,
we're all not doing great in the standings. I mean, are you top 1,000 still?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
JD, no.
821.
Okay. 2,300. I'm like at the bottom.
Okay, I'm somewhere in between you two guys, but let's bounce back.
Yeah.
Let's call our shots here. Now, we know two people are going home. This is what Probst said. Okay.
Yep.
The episode is titled episode several. And if you've been with us here on No Buffs, you know my working theory is that Jelinski returns.
He's coming back.
Because episode seven to him means several. Maybe he flies in on a bat. Maybe that's what they're telling us. I don't know.
Wow. Can you vote on that?
So anyway, episode several. Here's what we know from the promo. Tiff and Kenzie, this is not the Q show. That ain't going to work for us.
Hmm.
Okay. Maybe Q is playing a little too hard here. Probe says two people are going home. Tevin says it could be a blindside. Ben thinks he's screwed. Venus is stressing. Q is dropping an F-bomb. And Charlie says people are ready to go at each other's throats.
Wow.
They were giving us everything in this promo. They're like, yeah, good luck. Good luck predicting who's going home. So
this is the hardest one.
12 people left.
12 people left. They're going to split them into two separate tribal councils, right? That's what happened last year.
You're probably right.
So
you're probably right.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's why
you get
two people
listen to the other tribal council.
Yeah,
I would expect that.
And that first person voted out won't make the jury.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Last non-jury. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's just salt on the wound, really.
That's right.
You get your new buff, and then you're like, see you later.
It's basically fresh, new buff.
So,
yeah, you're right. So, I mean, this is going to be what, more rock draws? It's like, who knows how these teams are going to shake
out. How they split them up?
Probably.
Tiff and Hunter have idols, and Tevin has an extra vote, which you just got.
Right. Is that all that's out there?
That's what it looks like.
Because Gems is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maria's extra vote is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's easy to follow. Now, will there be another idol placed out there?
Probably.
Now that Gems is gone.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably somewhere.
They might get to scrambling looking, but anyway, okay. Yeah,
all right, so who's the biggest
target? Throw your darts, man.
I mean, Hunter's a big target for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most visible target anyways, and nobody knows he has an idol. Is it possible that he... it's going to be individual immunity.
Yeah.
Right.
Two people will probably be safe.
So Hunter could win that. But anyways, he's the biggest target. I don't see him going.
Yeah. Here's the real question. Does anyone from this wedding alliance, the plus one, the Journey Six, does any of those six go home? Cause again, this whole breaking of them up and having two tribes and two tribal councils, I was about to say they have a majority or half the tribe or half the beach, but they don't because who knows how it shakes out.
Right.
So just throw a dart. Just pick a name.
Okay. Give me Charlie.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's a good pick.
I'm going to go Q.
I'll go Ben.
Okay. Okay, so two Sigas. I'm saying a random Yanu. And look, I'm reading into the promo here a little bit of like, just like Q is playing really, really hard.
I agree.
Like, it's a little much to me. This episode, maybe that continues. Maybe people get a little tired of it, of like, especially in Tiff and Kenzie's spot. Now, they're with them, don't get me wrong, but like at a certain point, you're going to be like, if we keep going with him, nobody's going to think we did anything because he's just such a big personality and sort of that coach mentality. So I go Q, you got Ben, you got Charlie.
I got Charlie.
All right. Well, you
sure.
I don't feel good about it.
You get to pick a second too if you want to throw one. You're going to keep a Venus in there. Keep playing your Venus card.
Venus.
I've been doing it for weeks.
I feel like Venus is going to be in the top three.
Yeah, I know.
She could go deep for sure.
Now that she's made it through that little rough part. All right, we'll get your picks in. Don't forget to do it. We'll be back next week with No Buffs, breaking down episode several, The Return of Jelinski.
Who's going to say that?
Episode several, yeah.
They don't know the breakdown of episodes, or do they? I mean, I guess they've gone to tribal council enough times they can figure out what it is.
That's a great point, because usually somebody says this.
Yeah.
How would
so
not necessarily.
Oh, episode not, several.
Well, I guess it is always a quote, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Q said cancel Christmas last night.
Yeah.
And
he
it was
did.
Weird how he said it. It was just like slipped in. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I wish you could vote on that too. I'd get it wrong as well.
Yeah.
Who's gonna say episode several?
It's
Jelinski, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Pop so hard if Jelinski's
who,
back
who,
on our
that
screen.
First ever cut to Ponderosa. He introduces the episode.
Welcome to episode several.
Maybe he has to, the Fijian government makes him go back and clean up the glass on the beach that he broke.
How dare you put it on the leash?
Don't mind Jelinski. He's just cleaning up the...
play around him. The obstacle course is set on that beach where he smashed the glass.
Yeah.
And he's just there cleaning it up. And they're all just shaking their heads out. Jelinski, you fool. All right, we'll find out. We'll be back here next week. Can't wait to see you guys then. Hit the like button, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Until we see you next week, the tribe has spoken.